You've done it. You found the Debt Street podcast, where our guests from across the financial landscape discuss their exciting careers, their hard-won insights, and how they are helping clients turn debt into assets. And now, here's Carol, to bring you today's episode with our special guest, Malcolm Davies, from Way Capital Incorporated.
So our guest today is someone who has built a highly successful business that is all about helping commercial real estate developers with sophisticated financing solutions. I'm extremely excited to introduce you to Malcolm Davies from Way Capital. Malcolm, welcome to Debt Street.
Thanks for having me, Carol. Appreciate it and excited to be here.
We're super excited to hear about Way Capital, but before we dive in, I'd like to dig a little bit into your past. What was life like before you start Way Capital? Where did you grow up, or what's your early life like?
That's a good question. It goes way back, I suppose. I was actually raised in Singapore until I was five, which was cool. My parents were in the technology industries, and my father ran a semiconductor company, and so that's why we were in Singapore. But I actually spent my high school years in Northern California, and in the Bay Area, and went to college in Arizona at the University of Arizona, where I worked for the university in their economic development office. And that's how I got my start in commercial real estate, was meeting all the real estate developers in the state of Arizona as an analyst for their department. That's really how I got my start.
Wow, interesting. And so can you tell us a little bit about Way Capital and what does Way Capital do?
Sure. So Way Capital stands, people ask me all the time, is Way about the way? Is it nothing gets in our way? But reality is Way actually has an acronym. It stands for We Are You. I was a real estate developer until 2008. So from 1998 to 2008. Wow. I was actually a commercial real estate developer doing projects in Arizona, San Diego, Los Angeles, and up in Washington. And I essentially went through a lot of challenges in the Great Recession. I had a lot of personally guaranteed debt. I was building a lot of high-rise projects, office buildings, and I was the young developer. I'm in my 40s now, but back then I was in my early 30s and faced a lot of challenges and. Really, Way is the company is set up because when I was a real estate developer, I wanted to be represented by, in essence, Malcolm Davies and our team today. Way really helps all of our clients with everything with respect to capital market execution. So we act as our client's outsourced CFO. We essentially raise their capital for all of their real estate projects. Be that a value add, development, reposition, we will help them in the GP capital markets, the LP equity markets. We will help them with their construction financing. We'll help them with permanent financing. We will do everything on their behalf. And really, we use what we call the deal champion strategy, which it means that we think about the world as an outsourced analyst team on behalf of deal champions that work at various capital platforms. And we think that having a lot of resources allows those deal champions, those originators, the allocators of capital within the large global world of capital to basically be able to go down to their investment committees to pitch our clients' projects on their behalf. But it takes a lot of information that they need to feel confident that they're willing to put their career on the line, that they believe in our client's project. So that is not something that is taken lightly, and it's the reason why we are on our own, so to speak. We don't want to be part of a larger platform because we need all of the fees that are generated from the deals that we do close on behalf of our clients. That goes to the 15 people that work here on behalf of those clients. Well, there's no mothership, so to speak. And I think there's an economic element here that a lot of our quote-unquote larger platforms we compete against generally have splits that they have with quote unquote the large company shareholders, publicly traded companies where they get, you know, those fees are shared with investors of those companies. Well, myself and my partner, Zach, are the only shareholders of Way Capital. So we don't have outside shareholders. We don't have debt. In essence, those fees go to support our clients' initiatives and allows us to have 15 people per client when some of our competitors can only afford to have 2 or 3. Yeah, so it's a real big differentiator. I really think it's important. It really is a distinguishing feature of our company. And I think it's part of the reason why we're growing so fast.
That is amazing. 15 people per client. That's unheard of. So when you first started building Way Capital, what were the big wins that make you realize that this is going to work?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think immediately. I think what resonates with our clients is that I've sat in their shoes. I know how challenging it is to get things done. And you really have to care. The first thing you have to be is you've got to be passionate. You got to be persuasive. You got to be persistent. You have to have all of those attributes. And I think just in general, I invested in the company. Zach invested in the company. We were cash flow positive, frankly, after the second month. That's not usual. I think that just took years and years of preparation. But part of it is actually, you know, without having to be beholden to outside sources, meaning if I had a third-party shareholder who invested in the company, I'd have to be a little bit beholden to that investor. Or if I carried debt, because that's what I'm using to grow the company, I don't have to worry about those things. And so we get to make decisions on who we represent based upon the real genuine character of the clients that we are working with. And hopefully they think about us in the same way we think about them, which is we care. I think at the end of the day, if you're going to hire a capital advisory firm, the client or the capital advisory firm has to really, really, really believe in your initiative, your project. Because if they don't, that deal's not going to get done. It's just never going to be capitalized in the way that it should be. So I think you have to kind of make that selection with how the passion kind of comes back at you with the clients or the capital groups you're talking to.
Well, I'm just thinking out loud, you know, with your very larger team, detail-oriented, passionate group, how do you actually transfer that passion from you and Zach to the people that help you in-house in the company?
Sure. Yeah, look, I think training is one thing that's incredibly important to hear at Way. I mean, I've got employees that have worked with me for 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years. I think in general, it comes from the top of how you think about the business and how you should address and how you should approach things. We believe in momentum. So what is momentum to somebody in this world? Momentum to me feels like every day we're making progress. You can't have something that's not making progress. And so we take the approach that every step you take is a positive. And if you look at it in that way, you know, you can never get from A to Z, right, without going through B, C, D, E, F, and G. But you have to feel that when you go from A to B, you've made a lot of progress that day. And so we tend to kind of build processes that show our team members that you have to follow these steps. And if you follow these steps, then we build that momentum that ultimately gets someone emotionally connected to do the projects for which our clients are having us pitch. The emotional connectivity, either in the debt markets or the equity markets, is similar. There are reasons for which people do projects and reasons why people provide debt, provide equity, provide capital for real estate. It's because they understand the opportunity. And there are reasons for why they might understand that opportunity. Either they've done self-storage projects across the U.S., or they understand the local market that we're pitching a project in, or they might have known our client back years ago, and there's a personal connection. There's, you know, three legs of every stool, right? There's the real estate, there's the market, and then there's the sponsor that's backing that deal. We solve for all of those legs of the stool But there are reasons why people choose to do something. And sometimes, no matter how good we are, we're never going to quite know what those reasons might be. And that's why we will go out very wide on certain opportunities. You know, we'll go to 100 capital sources. We'll go to 200 capital sources. We'll go to 30 on a particular deal because maybe it's not nearly as complicated or sophisticated. But I've always said the one of the most kind of interesting projects we've capitalized over the years was a project that I went to 294 sources of capital to get done. We received two term sheets. We selected one of those. And it's become one of the most successful projects I've personally been involved in, and our clients were more than thrilled. It's not how many term sheets you get on something. It's the ones that you get that are that work for that particular deal. And so at the end of the day, the momentum is critical. There are processes in place. You know, it's not just getting hired. It's making sure that the quote-unquote offering memorandum, the graphics, the way it physically looks on the PDF or the either the drone footage that we're using, the marketing that we're doing to make someone connected to it, has to look very, very professional. The reality of it is the lender or the equity partnership that we help create is really the first customer of the new project. And meaning it's your tenant that's thinking of leasing to or moving into a community that you're developing or that you're delivering. Well, your lender or your equity partners are really that customer. So it has to look really good. You know, I always try to make the comment that we're taking a company public every day, meaning that we're going to make that company, that project look as good as it possibly can so that ultimately the capital is selected that is representing of our client's needs. So there's a lot there, but I can't begin to tell you how important it is to frame the opportunity in a way that the capital markets can understand it. So we're very realistic about how we approach it. We certainly talk about the reasons why it's great, but also recognizing where the risk might be to understand and disseminate that risk so that they do look at it and feel confident that it's something that their organization would like to be involved in.
Yeah, I think so two things that strike me. One is the emotional connectivity of it. You know, a lot of people, they develop a property, they're just about looking at the numbers. If the number works out, you know, here we go. It's like buying a stock, right? So that's actually an interesting thought. I have to.
Yeah, I think I make the joke of it that everybody thinks I'm in the finance industry. I am, I suppose, right? But I'm really in the, you know, the emotional connection industry, meaning that even if the numbers are exactly the numbers, we're doing a permanent loan on a property, and you can look at the net operating income and you're evaluating that opportunity, there's still the emotional connection about where that project's located, the sponsorship group that's backing that particular opportunity, and the more macro market that it might be in. Not just, you know, hey, it generates $5 million in NOI. You know, many reasons why you could use the $5 million of saying, I don't want to do the deal. And many times you could say, well, a $5 million is fine because I've got all these other factors that are out there that make me comfortable about doing this, you know, being involved in this opportunity. Now, you have to remember, too, that, you know, we're doing this over and over and over again. We're very realistic and pragmatic about our approach with the capital markets. For example, I think people appreciate our kind of approach, which is when the deals come across, I've always said this, the easier it is for them to say no to us, the more yeses we get. And people always ask me, what does that mean exactly? Well, if I can let somebody say no to me quickly, that's great. But I also want them to spend time. And sometimes they don't spend time with capital advisory firms because they will badger them or they'll pressure them and they'll do all these certain things to have them think they think they're trying to influence them. But the reality of it is the more I give the respect and regard for their review, I don't mind if they turn down an opportunity 3 months, 2 months, 1 week, 4 weeks. And I am so respectful. We are so respectful of their time and we appreciate the amount of energy they might put into something. And that if it doesn't work out, it's absolutely okay. Why is that important? That is incredibly important for the next opportunity, the next opportunity, the next opportunity. We want them to feel comfortable that we can have a real candor and a dialogue that makes it easy for them to say no. And ultimately, when they do find the opportunities that they like, they feel the great bond with us that they can feel comfortable that says, hey, we really like this one. What do we need to do to win this opportunity? Right. And I think in that sense, that's the differentiator. In all reality, and what we do in the structured finance world or capitalization world versus maybe something else that's more of a process-driven approach, we really believe that is incredibly important to not only our capital partners, but our clients.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to burn bridges, and you're really in it for the long game.
No.
You know, wanting them to come back and feel comfortable calling you. So that makes a lot of sense. So we talked a little bit about the announcement. I saw a headline yesterday about Way Capital joining force with Fannie and Freddie. So do you mind kind of talking about that and what's Intel?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, clarification is we've joined forces with Regions Bank to provide, obviously, Fannie and Freddie executed financing facilities and loans on behalf of Way's clients. And I think we're ecstatic about this opportunity. We spent a lot of time looking at all of the avenues, having a bank as esteemed as Regions. We feel really great about the opportunity that we can deliver now something that I haven't had in my career. And I think in general, this really kind of puts it in full circle that we can really help our, you know, quote unquote, multifamily clients in not only providing, you know, equity on behalf of their projects or construction loans on behalf of their projects. We can provide them bridge financing. We can provide them now the actual exit, which is in the permanent finance market backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And I think you're going to see significant announcements on our energy and our efforts, because in all reality, we've done our clients' most difficult transactions. And at the end of the day, we are also a group that is very, very detailed and disciplined to be able to work on behalf of those clients on all of their initiatives. And one of the ways that you really do succeed in commercial real estate, particularly in the multifamily market, is to obviously provide refinances or acquisition financing with low fixed rate debt, particularly in this capital markets. You know, that type of financing is critical to success. And so we're thrilled about it. We're already working on our first deal, even though the announcement just came out yesterday. And so we're excited about it and can't wait to continue moving that that platform through with the Regions team.
Well, congratulations. That's a huge accomplishment.
Thank you.
So another question I have is, you know, we're facing a lot of economic headwinds in this economic environment. And I know that you guys are really kind of helping your client navigating through this challenging market,
sure,
especially when it comes to construction costs or interest carry. Can you kind of expand on, you know, how you guys are different from other advisory firms to really
sure
help your client to maximize their opportunity, minimizing their costs?
Right. I think going back to this whole standpoint about resources, having 15 people, you know, I believe you need to have a lot of resources today. The reality is it takes longer. It's more energy. It's more effort. All those things are true to get things accomplished. So having a big team behind me is critical. We are still successful in getting construction loans done. We're still successful in placing equity. I think we've closed 6 or 7 transactions in the last 3 to 4 weeks, all of which are with regional banks, with equity platforms, in multiple states. And I think in general, we feel confident that on people's initiatives, our clients' initiatives, where we've been successful about helping them on their new initiatives. You know, someone said to me once, a very trusted mentor of mine said to me, the great time to be building is when it's very difficult to capitalize your deal. Because by the time you deliver, there isn't going to be nearly the amount of competition that you might think you might have otherwise. So work really hard during these difficult times to capitalize your projects. And so we feel highly confident about the projects we've been capitalizing here in 2023. That being said, we also know, though, that we have never seen the level of hyperinflation and interest rate escalation in my 25-year career in the time frame for which this happened. I think in the last 14 months, we have doubled the interest cost of floating rate debt in the U.S. That is unsustainable for, you know, clients that are under construction on a construction project. They're involved in a bridge loan on a value-add opportunity. Everybody's working very hard to get towards some level of a permanent execution. As interest rates rise, obviously values drop because cap rates are somewhat correlated to interest rates here. Right. And the reality is that's a problem when you actually also add onto that where costs have escalated with hyperinflation over that same time period. So we've been assisting our clients in scenarios where we're bringing in either refinancing out the existing capital structure, bringing in preferred equity or mezzanine financing to help really do two things. One, to replenish interest reserves until they can stabilize, and then cover the construction cost overruns through using mezzanine and preferred equity financing instruments. Yeah. We've also been successful in coming in and just refinancing out the existing construction loan with a higher loan that, in essence, we call it a stretch loan, that in essence refinances out the existing construction lender and goes in higher proceeds. We've also helped our clients negotiate modifications whereby they can actually add either term or more proceeds with their existing lenders. And I think that's something that is new. We really are focusing on sometimes the best lender for your, you know, your challenge is your existing lender. Now, not always, because they may not be, they may not want to do something more, but in essence, we've been successful in getting hired by clients to help them in that regard. So do we have headwinds right now? 100%. We've got some challenges that are out there, but it takes a group like ours to be involved with clients to help them in those situations. I mean, at the end of the day, I went through pretty much the hardest thing you can go through as a real estate developer, right? I was at 2008 when the GFC hit. I had lenders that were failing, getting taken over by the FDIC. I had $150 million personally guaranteed. I had projects that were upside down that weren't worth the loan amounts that we had on the projects. And I was able to get through, you know, bankruptcies, Chapter 7s, Chapter 11s. I was able to buy notes back. I was able to reposition assets. I survived. I came back out in 2011 as a capital advisor after going through all those challenges, really with a lot of humility. You know, it's not easy to get through that. The one thing I would say that, you know, in today's world, you have to have a lot of compassion for the situation that we're currently in. You know, as someone who went through the Great Recession as a real estate developer, as a young real estate developer in his early 30s, who faced August, September of 2008, whereby my lenders were being taken over by the FDIC, where lenders had said they were stopping fundings on my projects using MAC clauses in the loan agreement, which are material adverse change clauses, which are very scary for most developers or most real estate owners. To actually have that happen, to get through it, I mean, I went through Chapter 7s, Chapter 11s, but I was also able to reposition the assets and buy notes back, convert properties from office buildings to hotels, and spend time and really work on behalf of the partnerships I was involved in. There really aren't very many folks like me where I spent the time going through not only being on the development side, but having to restructure and getting through a cataclysmic issue and then rebuilding my whole career as someone who is this capital advisor with that level of expertise and experience. And then to see today how long it's really been since we've been involved in that situation. I look at it today in 15 years. It feels like yesterday to me, but it's been 15 years since the summer of 2008 And I think in general, that suits me in a market that, you know, I can look at this thing and this current environment and tell people that this is not as bad as that. You just have to work very hard and be able to get those phone calls being made to help in any search the circumstance you might be in.
Yeah, it is interesting, especially, you know, when it comes to distress situation or, you know, your lender have issue or you have issue, you know, all the nuances, you know, are all coming out. Things that you never care about in the past or, you know, when things are good and really needing someone who understand and being able to navigate that becomes incredibly important. So going forward, what big goals do you have for the business for the next 3 to 5 years? Do you look at this as an opportunity for you guys to grow because of the market environment? How do you actually capitalize on it?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the time in the real estate cycle where fortunes are going to be made. And
yes.
I think that we haven't had a cycle shift in many, many years. And so you have to be, look, everybody's got potentially some problem assets. They need to work through those problem assets. There are opportunities to acquire and work on repositions and work into the next cycle. How long this cycle stays in its current environment, right? Interest rates really have really pushed and costs have pushed this really heavy to affect commercial real estate. The question is how long it's going to be. If you are well capitalized or you need partnership to help you be well capitalized, staying power is the key to commercial real estate. And the reality of it is basis is also very important to commercial real estate. So values are down. We don't know how long this will be, but if you have the resources to have staying power, this could be the opportunity of a lifetime for many of the commercial real estate owners that were not involved in the last cycle change. And in that regard, I believe the next few years will be an incredible opportunity for our clients and for anyone who has the fortitude to look at this in a long-term perspective. Because at the end of the day, many investors globally want to be in the United States. And the reality of that is it's never been a cheaper time to actually do that. And so we're excited about being involved in all of that.
Understood. So just one last question. Malcolm, one book recommendation you recommend to our listeners?
There is a book that I read called The Power of Why. You have to understand your why. If you don't know your why, then you'll just kind of float around. And if you understand your why, you know, for example, for me, my why is making everyone successful around me. And if I have everyone successful around me, it ultimately comes back to me and paying it forward. So in all reality, the why, I think, is something that everybody should spend an awful lot of time with in their lives, no matter what age you are. Just spend the time and figure out why you're doing what it is, what you're doing, or why you're involved in something.
I love it. This interview, the one big thing that stood out to me was the verbs that you use. We have to be compassionate. We have to have empathy. We have to have, you know, leverage the emotional connection. You know, I've done this podcast for many, many episodes. So this is a very different one in the sense that we are connecting with sort of, you know, emotions, not just, hey, you know, what can I do for you when it comes to financing? You know, I think that is a deeper level of connection that people should think
right.
about. Yeah. So thank you. If my listeners need help with their sophisticated financing solutions or have questions for you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Sure. You should just go to our website at waycapital.com, www.waycapital.com. And you can look up Malcolm, Zach, and the whole team, and we look forward to connecting with any of you.
Beautiful. Well, Malcolm, thank you so much for being on the show. And for those that are listening, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a comment wherever you're listening. that help us to keep making the show better and better. And also, make sure you send Malcolm Davies your questions about CRE financing. We'll see you next time on The Debt Street.
Thanks, Carol. Take care.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for listening into this episode of The Debt Street Podcast, brought to you by Derivative Logic Incorporated. Derivative Logic helps you get straight to smart about interest rates and how best to manage your risks. Please like and share the link to this episode with your friends and coworkers. And subscribe to be notified of upcoming episodes. If you need to stay informed about interest rates, please go to www.derivativelogic.com and subscribe to the weekly Straight to Smart newsletter. Each edition looks at news and events of the past week, looks forward to important data soon being released, and briskly summarizes what it all means for you and your business. We look forward to welcoming you to the next episode of the Debt Street Podcast.